Welcome to Now Church. But so glad you're here with us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better. Thanks for being here.
We want to encourage you to open your Bibles with us today. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is where we're going to begin today. We're going to preach the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of God today. As we continue our thought, we the people, for this great month of America's 250th birthday, today I call the message, Let Freedom Ring. Let Freedom Ring. Last week we talked about the origins of liberty. We said the spiritual foundation of our nation is clearly built on Christian principles. Early settlers came as pilgrims and missionaries and dedicated this land to Jesus Christ and the spreading of the gospel in America and to the world. Darkness in our world is trying to undermine our foundation, and I get frustrated with it. I heard some knucklehead on some unnamed initials news program, news thing, and they said, this guy says, well, we all know that America was never founded on Christian principles. And I'm thinking like, I've read more in the past month on the founding of America, and I'm telling you, I don't just have quotes. I have chapters and volumes of statements from the people that signed the Declaration of Independence, our forefathers, and saying even 20, 30 years later, John Adams said in 1813 in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, he said, and everybody knows that when we look back to the signing that day, when we signed the Declaration of Independence, we know it was all based on Christian principles. So the devil's a liar and the father of lies. And we have to make sure that we're guarding and protecting. You know, Ronald Reagan said this. He said that freedom is only one generation away from being lost in America because we have the power to give it away. And I'm concerned about that. Anyway, following Jesus' water baptism and 40 days in the wilderness, the Bible says that Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4 is where we're going to begin, verse 16, when he comes back in the power of the Spirit after his temptation. Verse 16 says, so Jesus came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, watch this language, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Listen, Jesus, in his life, his custom was to go to church every week, okay? We live in a society where even Christians find it very optional to kind of come and, you know, blow in, blow up, and blow out and not really experience that connection, that commitment. If it's good enough for Jesus to go to church every week, it's good enough for me. I'll just tell you that, okay? And so he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read, and he was handed the book. It was his turn to read the book, and they handed him the prophet Isaiah. When he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and this is one of the very few scriptures where God is talking in the first person in the Old Testament scriptures and giving this. And so he stands up and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. Say liberty. Liberty. To captives and recover his sight to the blind, to set at liberty, say liberty. Liberty. Those who are oppressed, see this, it's right there in the whole scripture. Liberty, 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 liberty. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the NIV says the year of the Lord's favor. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. By the way, they weren't happy, you know. Tell you more about that later if I get a chance. And he began to say to them, today, everybody say today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I want to weave in Leviticus 25, 10. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. It says, and you shall consecrate the 50th year. And proclaim liberty, there it is again, proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. And it shall be a jubilee, everybody say jubilee. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession. And each of you shall return to his own family. Let's pray one more time. Father, open the eyes of our heart today and let your word come forth in power and in your presence. Would you, Holy Spirit, be welcome in this place to penetrate and saturate and fill us with your presence, with your power, and with your life-giving spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to take a few minutes and just talk to you about the kingdom principle of Jubilee. Whether you've heard that word or that in the context, I want to give you the biblical meaning today. But Leviticus chapter 25 sets in motion certain fundamentals of worship and honoring God in your work life and in your life management. In very practical ways, the Bible is very practical. Some people try to make it so spiritually minded they're no earthly good. And the fact is that God is a God of order and peace. A lot of his principles are things that he wants to work in your life every day to help you to thrive and flourish in this life, right? Say amen.
Amen.
Are you too quiet? What are you being too quiet for? Are you awake? First service was more awake than this. Man, and they were here at the crack of dawn, 8:30. Anyway. Anyway, it's just important that you really receive this. I want to pray that you get ears to hear because this is important. So Leviticus 25, people think of Leviticus, they kind of think of just as a bunch of rules and regulations. No, it's principles, a lot of it. And it says, and in this time, God is revealing his heart for his people. He's revealing his heart. He's revealing his nature in this whole thing in Leviticus 25. So you know the story of creation week, Genesis chapter 1, where God says there's 6 days of work followed by 1 day of Sabbath rest. Now listen, God created the world in 6 days. Whether you want to think, people want to get all heady about, okay, did you think it's 6 24-hour days? Or, well, the Bible says it's 1,000 days is a day to God, and, 1,000 years is 1 day. And, God is the Ancient of Days. I don't care if he thought it, blinked it into existence, but he spoke, and in 6 epic time periods, he created, and then he took whatever the time frame was, and he took a day off, not because he was tired, but because he was giving us a principle. You hear? He neither slumbers nor sleeps. God's not tired, so he didn't take a day off to take a nap. He took a day off to show us what we need, not what he needs. Are you here? So he said, take 1 day Sabbath rest and focus on the goodness of the Lord, on relationship with him. So Leviticus 25 kind of begins to develop that thought and jumps onto Genesis 1 and says, okay, God works everything in times and seasons and cycles, right? To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. God says there's times and seasons in life. If you're going through a really rough time right now, I've got great news for you. It's gonna pass. This is only a season. This is only a cycle. This is only a moment. Don't fix your life on the storm you're in. Fix your life on Jesus, and he'll get you through to the other side, and you'll go through a better season on the other side of it, okay? So if you're going through a rough time right now, the great news of Leviticus 25 is everything is in times and seasons and cycles, like it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn. 3 people my age, I'm sorry. I forgot we're in such a youthful church, they don't. You might say this place is going to the birds. That's the group who did that song. But anyway, wow, okay. So, creation week, 6 days. Now, Leviticus says every 6 years, because it's an agricultural society, he says every 6 years, I want you to sow and reap and plant and harvest and do what you do with your job, with your life. But here's how I want you to go further. Every 7th year, I want you to let the land rest to rejuvenate the soil, and you reconnect in faith and trusting God in that year where you're not having to go out and do the same work you always do, where you God says, if you'll do this and you'll get in this season and cycle, God says, I will bless you so much the sixth year, you'll have enough to put in your silos and your barns and fill them, and you'll have enough to make it all the way through year eight. You'll have enough to make it through to the other side. You'll have 2 years worth in 1 year, but you got to trust me in this, God says. You know, I was a few weeks ago, my wife and I were at a pastor's conference up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in Amish country. Anybody been to Amish country? Beautiful, beautiful part of the world. If you have never been there, you should go. But one of the things we saw, the Amish people out there plowing and farming by the way, they believe in women's liberation there in Amish country. I was shocked. A bunch of the people that were plowing with all these horses and plows were women. They're their wives out there working hard on these big old farms. But they still use some of those principles from Leviticus, and they have some of the richest, most fertile soil of farmland in our whole country. Why? Because they've learned to let the land rest. Most of the rest of the country, we ignore God. We ignore the principles. Oh, Leviticus, oh, that's out of touch. Well, yeah, it's not. You don't have to do it to be righteous, but you can do it to be smart. Yeah. And so these principles are there, and it really brings this increase into their whole situation. God promises to increase the harvest in year six. All this in this whole six-year, seven-year process, all this becomes an exercise of faith and trust in God. Then it goes another step and says that there are seven cycles of those seven-year periods. Does anybody know what seven times seven is? First service did not know. Not going to speak evil of anybody, but first service, it was so early that only two people in the whole place knew what seven times seven is. Anyway. So seven times seven is? Very good. That's what I thought you said. So what happens is God says now, when the 49 year, when that seven cycles of those 7 years happens, I want to do something in the 50th year that'll blow your mind. I want to give you something called a jubilee to show you my heart for you, to show you how much I love you, to show you my plans for you. We're going to have an incredible celebration in year 50. Now, Jubilee means the year of the Lord's favor, the 50th year of that seven times seven cycles. At 49, something would happen at the 49th year. I'll tell you about that in a moment. And this year of the Lord's favor, Jubilee, is all about redemption, restoration, and reset. How many would like a reset once in a while? But, you know, just like, man, it's been a challenging season. It's been a tough moment. Wouldn't it be nice to just huddle up, regroup, praise God, and get a fresh start? Like all that other stuff didn't happen like it did? Wouldn't that be awesome? That's what this is about. Jubilee is about revealing the nature of our Heavenly Father. Now, as I've been studying all this stuff that's been working in my spirit about America and about the 250th, I realize that America is coming into its fifth jubilee. This is our fifth jubilee, 50 times five, 250. This is our fifth jubilee season in the natural cycle of life, okay? In the natural season of things. And I got really excited about it, but it's interesting because right now online, there's so much stuff on TV and online that is bad-mouthing America. And I just want to tell you, America's not perfect. America's not a perfect place. But let me tell you something. If you can name another society that's lasted 250 years as a world power that has dominated a lot of conversations and parts of the earth that didn't become dictatorial, that didn't become empirical, that didn't become something awful and treat people and subjugate the people that they took. And America, you can say what you want about her, but let me tell you something. Don't tell me we're not the best country, the greatest country that the world has ever seen because of what God has done, because of our foundation. It's the only country in the world that wins wars for other lands and then releases and sets the people free. You show me any other society, it does not happen. It has not happened. God has his hand on our nation. In the natural, this Jubilee season, I want to talk to you for a couple minutes about the Liberty Bell. Has anybody ever seen the Liberty Bell in Pennsylvania near by Independence Hall? My wife and I went when we were 18 years old on a tour, but when we were just friends at that time. And we went, we were just friends. That's another old story. But anyway, we broke up at the end of our senior year of high school. But we had already, my parents had already invited my girlfriend to go on a trip with us for like a senior trip to my family's homeland of southern New Jersey and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so when we broke up, I said to my parents, Gail and I are broken up now. And they said, so? And I said, well, I want to take Howard. I want to take my friend Howard Moore. They said, no, we made a commitment. Gail's going with us on this trip. So everywhere we went for that trip, we're standing in pictures by the Liberty Bell, and we're about 3 feet apart because I was trying to tell everybody we're just friends. Anyway. That's another whole chapter of another book. It's funny. So I saw the Liberty Bell. And I'll be honest, some people misunderstand the importance of the Liberty Bell and think it's not all it's cracked up to be. Oh. Boy, they turned quickly. Does anybody know what's inscribed on the Liberty Bell? If you were here first service, you know. Leviticus 25:10, my opening text. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Now that wasn't really emphasized when it was first commissioned as a bell in the 1700s, early 1800s. It was reconnected when the Christian people in the mid-1800s began to be the ones crying out for freedom from slavery in the nation. Many of our founding fathers, by the way, were anti-slavery and strong Christians. Some had slaves that were given to them in their inheritance, including George Washington. But I bet you didn't know, and I just found this out recently, George Washington, in his will, by the way, he gave more and more freedom to the people that were in his parents had enslaved. His family had been there in Virginia for generations. But I bet you didn't know that in his will, he put the moment that he died, make sure everyone is set free. He put that there, even though they had, anyway, that's another whole story. Like I said, America has some dark spots in its past, but let me tell you something else. We're the greatest country because God is with our nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Don't run down this country. If you don't like it, feel free to go to another country. I'll take you to a few countries that I've been to, the 89 I visited, and I'll drop you off personally if you want to go there, okay? Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all its inhabitants. That is a statement that is from the Word of God. In a Jubilee year, four primary things took place. Number one, liberty was proclaimed. Liberty and freedom were declared. Let me tell you what that means. Any person who'd been brought into slavery. So back in that time, in Bible times, there were slaves of all nations. It was somebody, if they got themselves into debt, couldn't pay the debt, they would have to send their kids or they would personally have to go become an indentured servant. Some people think indentured servants means they got false teeth. That's not, come on. Anyway, so the reality was that any indentured servant that couldn't repay their debt, on that 50th year, they were released automatically. No questions asked. They didn't have to earn it. They didn't have to pay back anymore. They were just set free. The moment that this happened, number one, liberty is proclaimed. Number two, debts were effectively canceled. If your family in the previous seven times seven, 49 years, had run up debt, or something happened where you just went over your head, that jubilee hit, and suddenly you were set free. All debt was released. Think about what you could do. What if you got a letter in the mail tomorrow morning and said, we're your bank that holds your mortgage. We've decided to completely forgive you of your mortgage payments. From now on, you're free and clear. How much would that change your life? What would you be able to do to invest in the kingdom of God and missions and fund what was going on in the world if you had no credit card debt and no mortgage payments? Think about that. That's what was happening as a society by the promise of God. By the promise of God. Under Jubilee, number three, land was restored. Families would get under pressure. They would sell some of their farm or they would lose their inheritance. They were all deeded back under Jubilee. Imagine if you had access to your great-grandparents' land that was sold back in the day, and suddenly there was something that said, hey, we're going to give it all back to your family. If that was originally your family land, boom, it's yours again automatically on Jubilee. Think about that. That would happen. Number four, the land rested. No more planting, no harvesting for profit, great acts of faith. My friends, what marked the start of a Jubilee year and all these four things would take place? On the Day of Atonement, trumpets were blown throughout the land. Once they would lay hands on the scapegoat and put their sin on the scapegoat and let the scapegoat run into the woods. Jesus is our scapegoat, right? So they would do this. They didn't know what they're doing. It was a symbol. It was a ceremony. But the substance was the moment that the atonement was made, the sins were forgiven, and then they would give the signal to the trumpeter in the city. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Let the people know it's now, it's 50. They're celebrating 50 for this whole year. This is our Jubilee year. And the one trumpeter in Jerusalem, the next one would hear it. And across the Kidron Valley in Bethany, they would hear it. And throughout all of the Israeli land, they would hear it. And they one guy would have a trumpet, he'd blow it, and the next guy would blow a trumpet, and it went throughout all the land. And what they said was, when the trumpet sounds, walk free. How do you walk free if you're a slave for 49 years and you hear the trumpet? You don't earn it. You don't have to do anything. You just have to hear the trumpet. You have to believe what the trumpet means, know it, receive it, believe it, and then walk away. Go back and start fresh. How many love a reset like that? Atonement was made. Once the city watchman signaled the next city, the atonement was made by the trumpet sounding. We believe the trumpet in the word of the Lord represents the prophetic word, like we were singing, I prophesy. That's the trumpet of God. That's the trumpet of God. The trumpet always preceded everything else, but could not be sounded till the atonement was made. Everybody say atonement. Listen, forgiveness always precedes freedom. Write that down if you're taking notes. Forgiveness always precedes freedom. If you have ever suffered an addiction and you went into a 12-step program or some kind of a program, the first thing they deal with is who are you holding responsible and blaming for the fact that your life is messed up? And what they find is that everybody that's bound in some type of addiction is secretly blaming somebody else, and you have to release that. And the Bible says that the trumpet was sounded at the end of the Day of Atonement. Why? Because you have to find the place of forgiveness. They'll tell you in a 12-step program, for instance, go make amends. Go ask forgiveness. Go to somebody, whoever's life you messed up, whoever saw you drunk out of your mind like that, whoever you injured when you were messed up with drugs, whatever happened, you need to go and apologize. You need to go and repent. You need to ask forgiveness. Why? Because forgiveness always precedes freedom. Even James chapter 5 says, Pray for one another that you might be healed. But the very before that it says, confess your faults one to another. Forgiveness comes before freedom. Aren't you glad today that he set you free? When the trumpet sounded, everything changed in an instant. A slave didn't earn his freedom. He simply believed the proclamation, and then he walked out of bondage. You say, Pastor, I'm bound with this, that, or the other thing. What do I do? Walk free. Well, I can't do that. No, hear the word of the Lord. You are already free. If you belong to Christ, then Jesus has already paid the price to set you free. He can't pay any more price than he already paid 2,000 years ago. He already set you free. You have to believe it for yourself, receive it in your life. And then you say, well, how do I get out? How do I quit? You walk out one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. By faith. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight, like many of you drive. The Jubilee didn't begin with people running. It began with people listening. They were listening for God. They were waiting to hear the certain sound of the trumpet, the ram's horn, the shofar. And you know what I always say? Shofar, show good. Jeez, you're slow today. In your home or here at church, are you listening for the sound of God's trumpet? Are you coming in when Pastor Lindsay and the team are leading praise and worship or having a praise party? Are you coming in and just... okay, yeah. We used to do a song back in the 80s called We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise to the Lord. And we did it so much that it lost all meaning. And we used to tease about it. We called it the windshield wiper song. Because we say, we bring the sacrifice of praise. It kind of had a little yee-haw in it, you know, yee-haw to the house of the Lord. And then we sing this other part. And we offer up to you the sacrifices. Everybody in the congregation would do like this. 2,500 people. It's called the windshield wiper song. And a lot of people would just, a lot of times you don't know, but you just start, your mind starts checking out. And you start presuming that praise and worship is the optional opening act when it's round one of the main event. It's engaging your spirit in the pursuit of more of God's relationship. It's, God, I'm not thinking about lunch. I'm not thinking about, I'm trying to focus my heart on you, Lord. I want you. I want to know you for myself. We got to listen for the sound of God's trumpet in the midst of the sounds of the preaching of the word. I can't tell you how many times I'm just so thankful. One of my greatest joys in my life is almost every week in 36 years, by the grace of God, that I've been out there and fortunate enough to have time to talk to people in the lobby after a service. Somebody will come up and say, Pastor, that was right to me. Oh, you were listening to my conversations this week. What was that? That was crazy. I get that, and I always, it's not me. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit trying to connect with you in something. Maybe you've just been talking about something. I don't know all that. I promise you, I don't have any listening devices in your home. The reality is that the Spirit of God is trying to communicate, but are you listening for the trumpet? Are you listening for the sound? Because you can't be free till you hear the sound. One person said this about Jubilee. The cross purchased it. The trumpet proclaimed it, faith receives it, and freedom lives it. Isn't that the American dream? Isn't that the promise of America that someone can come here with nothing but a desire for a better life? Become strong, successful, build a flourishing life and family like the promise of Jubilee. It's a season of opportunity. People from all over the world are looking for an opportunity. By the way, America is that place that people want to try to escape to get to, not escape to get from. You know, I don't see too many people trying to sneak into Haiti lately. They're not. No, but I don't know any Cuban people in Miami that are trying to desperately to get back into Cuba. Why? Because of the promise of the dedication of this nation. We're not perfect. But I'd rather live here than any other place on the planet. So blessed by the grace of God. Couple more things and I'm done. The greatest thing about Jubilee in our day is that it's no longer about a 50-year cycle. You don't have to wait to have... Imagine if it was just every 50 years. You get one time. If you're going to live to be 70 or 80 years old, you get one time in your life. You get a it's my Jubilee year. A Jubilee isn't a cycle anymore. Jubilee's a person. When Jesus declared his anointed mandate, we started with, he finished with two thoughts. He finished that whole statement. He said this. He proclaimed the acceptable year or season of the Lord's favor or Jubilee. Then he sat down and he said, number two, he said, today. Everybody say today. He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, today, this verse has come out of the Bible and is manifested in this room. He sat down and basically said, I am your Jubilee. I will do these things. Jubilee is not an era, it's a person. Jesus is our Jubilee. And the trumpet of God is already blaring out. The time has come. It is now. Quit waiting for God to do something. Jesus already did it for you 2,000 years ago. A few weeks ago, I talked about a word called tetelestai. It's the phrase when Jesus hung on the cross, and one of the last things he said was, it is finished. And I described to you, and I want to remind you, in case you missed it or if you were here, you need a refresher. Tetelestai means this. When he was on the cross and said, it is finished, it is a decree that all has been accomplished. Everything formerly lacking has now been supplied. The wound has been healed. The obligation has been met. The debt has been completely satisfied. Jesus' declaration pronounced an end to man's Tower of Babel religious striving to build a ladder back to heaven for ourselves. God himself had come down and done what no fallen man could do, that is, satisfy mankind's staggering legal and spiritual debt and obligation to divine justice. My friends, it's finished. 2 Corinthians 3:17 from the Amplified says this, now the Lord is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, and freedom. Yes. I've also heard it read as, where the Holy Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Think of it. Let's finish where we started. In Jesus' mandate itself, all summed up, anointed me, he said, to preach the gospel. God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recover the sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable of the year of the Lord's favor, a new era of Jubilee. My friends, for 36 years, we've been saying this. When we preach about something, that anointing comes into the room. When we preach about Jubilee today, you have a right to go after it, to receive it for yourself. Yes. Think about it. What's the answer for the poor? Jubilee. For the brokenhearted? Jubilee. For the captives to sin and limitation? Jubilee. For the spiritually blind, deaf, and dumb? Jubilee. For the oppressed, depressed, repressed, or suppressed? Jubilee. Not an event every 50 years, but thankfully a person. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus is our Jubilee. What's our takeaway today? Jubilee in Christ means this. All your sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future sins. He already paid the price for what you haven't even done yet. That's how awesome it is. A lot of times we get this idea, when we get saved, oh good, I'm forgiven for all my past as an unsaved person. Now I gotta live it myself without any help. And then we blow it, and then we get messed up, and then we get sidetracked, and then it's all about beating myself up the rest of my life. No, your sins are forgiven. You've been justified. You've been sanctified. You've been washed. You've been declared to be free. Your identity has been restored along with your destiny and purpose. Materialism is no longer an idol, so you're free to be generous with your life, to glorify God, and there's always hope for a new beginning. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as we declare this word today? Somebody in this room needs this. Somebody in this place, somebody watching online, you need this message. You need to hear the word of the Lord. This is not for somebody else. This is for you. What area of your life needs to hear jubilee because you keep doing the same, repeating the same thing over and over again? Hear the sound of the trumpet. Hear the word of the Lord, prophesying the word of the Lord to you. Jesus is your substitute. He is your jubilee. Come to him today. Surrender to him now. How, Pastor? You get up and you walk free. Too easy, huh? No. Today I'm calling and I'm speaking to those of you that have been playing games with God. You believe in God? That's great. Demons believe in God. Doesn't make them saints. It's time to quit playing games with God and come to Jesus. To come back to the altar, come to the altar of your heart, the altar of your life. It's time to get up from where you were. When you hear the trumpet, when you get it, when it gets from your head to your heart, to your core of your being, get up. Stand up wherever you are, literally or figuratively, and walk to your freedom. Because jubilee is here. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every person hearing the sound of my voice. Everyone still stuck in the blame game. Everyone still stuck in the past. Everyone still beating themselves up for their own sin or their own failures. Today we proclaim liberty to everybody that's been captive, everybody that's been held in bondage, everybody that's been held back or limited or pressed down. Today we say, be free. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. God is doing something in my life, but I don't want to respond. I'm just trying to hold back. No, if you hear the trumpet, I want you to lift your hand up right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want this jubilee in my life. Lift your hand up right now and pray. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you back there. I see you over here. I see you. I see you all over there. Praise God. Hands are going up all over the room. Lord, I pray for everyone whose hand is raised, whether you're at home watching, sir, if you're in that hotel room, I see you sitting on a bed in a hotel, watching on your laptop or your iPad. Lift your hand right where you are and say, I need this. I need Jesus to be my jubilee. Lord, I pray for everyone whose hand is raised, everyone whose heart is open right now, and I break every assignment of hell that has tried to stop them, hold them back, or just take them out. I speak to ears to open in the spirit and the natural. I speak to eyes to see again. We pray for loved ones and family members. And we say, jubilee is not just for us. Jubilee is to as many as shall call upon the Lord. In Jesus' name, be free. Because here's the promise. Whom the Son of God sets free is free. Indeed, in Jesus' name, amen.
We're so glad you joined us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better, view our calendar, and experience our online campus live or on demand. Thanks again, and see you soon.